Good morning.
Good morning.
Topic this morning is, I think there might be a fly in the cholent. So Avi Apple asked me the question, am I prepared for the shiur this morning, or am I just giving it on the fly? There was a fly in the herring. Okay, but that's definitely Yad Hashem. Okay, so let's go through the sugya together. There are definitely some fundamental ideas in the realm of kashrus. Generally speaking, eating bugs, not a good thing. Mm-hmm. One bug has many lavin, so we try to stay away from eating ants and flies and all those types of delicious insects. Now, there's an interesting halacha. Right, generally, we have a klal, a tam ke'ikr. Tam ke'ikr means that the taste of something, assuming it's not batal, has the same status as the thing itself. So, if there's a big piece of non-kosher meat that falls into the cholent, and it's not batal b'shishim, it's a large piece of meat. So even if I know exactly where that piece is and I take it out, but once it was there and was cooking together with the cholent, so tam is infused into the rest of the tavshil, and the whole cholent's going to be usser, because tam ke'ikr. However, we have an exception, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about in Siman Kuf Gimel and Kuf Dalet, where if the tam that's being infused into the kosher food, that flavor itself happens to be disgusting. If that flavor is disgusting, then it will not aser the kosher food. So an example of that would be Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Dalet speaks about the case of an achbar. If you have a rat or some kind of rodent that falls into the cholent, mamish, one of those big rats that falls into the cholent, you don't have shishim against it, and you see it, you don't know what to do, and it slowly dies in the cholent. So you ask your local Orthodox rabbi, and he says, listen, min hadin, you can just take it out, don't eat the rat, but the cholent's still kosher. Okay? So you probably won't eat the cholent anyway, but it's still kosher, because there the tam of the rat's not going to cause a problem. That's tam, that's mo'os, it's disgusting. The same thing would be true if you have a massive fly that goes into a small pot of cholent, where you see exactly where the fly is, one of those country flies they have in upstate New York, those massive, disgusting things that the first time we went to the country, we brought with us our fly zapper, assuming that, you know, we don't have to have fly paper. Having dead flies hanging from your ceiling is not the most inviting feeling. So we figured we're going to bring the fly zapper and all is going to be good.
So what if you and your family happen to like the taste of flies?
Oy vesmer. So let me tell you about the fly zapper. Generally, when you hear the bzzz, that's how you know that the fly made contact with the thing, and it's dead. And when you hear many of those things, although it might be enhancing a midah b'chzarius, you know, of cruelty, but you look forward to seeing how many flies did it get, right? You go back into the kitchen, you see how many are there. So the first day or two, we set this thing up in the country, this going back many years, and I'm hearing all these zaps. And therefore, I'm having a sense of very positive excitement. Can't wait to see how many flies we got. And then I walk into the room to check it out, and there's nothing there. And I soon realize that with country flies, when they get zapped, they don't die. They just keep on going. Right? Mamisha Musar Haskil. Anyway, let's see if Mamisha, a massive country fly that does a kamikaze, a nosedive into the cholent, and you don't have shishim against it, and it dies in there, but you take it out. So because obviously the tam is a disgusting flavor, it will not aser the cholent. That's a klal. So bugs and insects are aser. However, the time they give will not aser something else. In a situation where you have little pieces of treif and they get mixed into a soup or a cholent, and you can't tell where they are. They're totally ma'uruv. They're combined in a way where there's no way to get them out. So then we have the principle of shishim. As long as you have 60 times whatever iser might be there, everything's batal b'iser. It's batal b'shishim, rather.
Well, can I ask a quick question on this?
Sure.
Why is it that when it comes to the thing that's inherently not kosher, that we're more makel in terms of tam, gets into a food?
In contrast to
meat or milk, which is inherently not kosher, it just happens to be that there's prohibition against the two together.
So it's a good question, but the basic reason seems to be that if something is intrinsically mos, it's disgusting, so then we don't have a principle of tam ke'ikr. The flavor is only problematic if it's flavor that's mashbiach, that's enhancing. But if you have little tiny pieces of something that's mixed in, it's batal b'shishim. Let's say the fly that goes into the cholent is a little tiny fly. You have these fruit flies sometimes. And you might have a massive cholent, like in a yeshiva or a camp, one of these industrial crock pots, right? You can mamish take a bath in one of those things. And you have a massive cholent, and you see a little fruit fly goes into the cholent. But you can't find it. And there's no way to sift through it. So pashim shat, we would all assume, okay, it's no problem. Like anything else in the world, it's batal b'shishim. You definitely have hundreds and thousands of times connected the fly. So here we have, though, an interesting din de rabbanin. Chazal came along and said that whenever you have a beria, when you have a whole item, so then it's a din de rabbanin. Chazal did not allow bittul b'shishim. When the Mechaber explains this halacha in Siman Kuf of Yoredeya, it says, Berio, anything that's a whole entity, Dehainu, Kego Namola. I'll just take his first example. An ant, cute little ant, makes its way into the cholent, and now you can't find it. So when you have a Berio, you're not allowed to use bittul b'shishim. What's the basic rationale behind this din derabanan? Right? Let's say in general a person says, I'm not comfortable with the whole notion of assuming something's bittul b'shishim. I know there's treif inside here. I saw the non-kosher meat get mixed in. Or I saw the milk go into the chicken soup. And I know there's shishim, but I just don't feel comfortable. Are you a chassid if you want to be machmir? What's that? Oh, so there's a pischei tshuva in Yoredeya in Kuf Tes Zayin, where he brings different shitas in the Achronim. And one opinion that he seems to be going with is that if I don't feel comfortable relying on bittul b'shishim, there's a name for that. It's called an apikoros, right? You're a heretic. Chazal told us gedarim, we have guidelines for halacha. So if a person say, I'm not going to eat it because I know there's treif inside there, that means you don't believe Torah Shebal Peh.
Why can't you treat it as a chumrah?
Because a chumrah is only something when there's a reason to be machmir. Here, Chazal told us, there's a din of bittul b'shishim. So why would Chazal come along and say, when there's a beria though, then you can't rely on shishim? So take a look at the Taz, the top of the page here. Beria dehainu chashivas de beria shalotia betela hi derabanan. This concept of a beria, a whole item not being bottle, is a din derabanan. And he explains, the kivan shemin hatara yesh chashivas de lokin alechi losa afilu hi pochus mikazayas. Since min hatara, there's a significance granted to this little thing, in the fact that if you eat the bug, you're chayiv malchus, even though it might be substantially less than a kezayis. So because it's a davar choshev, Chazal therefore were machmir, and they said, we're not going to allow you to rely on bittul b'shishim. Okay. So the fact that it's a din derabanan and not a din deraisa, what nafkamina does that have? So explains the Taz, the nafkamina would be if it's a suffic beria, which means there were two flies flying around the room. One was whole and robust, like a shmaka country fly, and the other one, unfortunately, was missing, you know, part of its body. It had a rough life so far. And then I saw one do a kamikaze into the cholent, and I can't find it. So you have a suffix. Is it the beria, or is it the one that was chaser? If it's the one that was missing part of its body, a leg or two, or an antenna, so then, okay, it's batel b'shishim. If it's the sholem, if it's a beria, then there's a din derabanan, it's not batel b'shishim. So in a case like that, this might not be the best example because there you have a cheskes kashrus on the cholent, without getting too complicated. If there's a suffix, you're allowed to therefore say, suffix derabanan lakula. Very simple, straightforward. How about the following suffix? Let's say it was a slightly different case. There was a piece of meat that fell into the cholent. And there's a lot going on in the kitchen. You're in a hotel setting, and there's kosher on one side, there's non-kosher on the other side. And this piece of meat, let's say it has a din of a beria. It's a whole bird or something. And I don't know if it's a kosher species or a non-kosher species. Now, even if it was non-kosher, there's no way to find it. And I for sure have shishim in the cholent against this bird. So what's the suffix here? The suffix is it a non-kosher bird or a kosher bird? Either way, min ha-Torah, the cholent should be mutter. So in a suffix like that, would you assume I could eat the cholent? What would you say, intuitively?
Yes.
Pashub shad, yeah, no problem. Because really that's also a suffix derabanan. It's only on the tzad that it was a non-kosher bird, and it's a beria, and therefore Chazal say it can't be batel. Interestingly, though, Paskin's the Taz, and the Shach as well in Kuf Aleph, Shach and Taz Paskin, that's not called the Suffolk Derabanan. Why not? Because what's the Suffolk? The Suffolk is it a kosher species, or is it a non-kosher species? That's a suffix deraisa. Now, even though in the context, there's no way this cholent's going to be usur min ha-Torah, because I definitely have much more than shishim against this bird. But so it's a very interesting chiddush of the Shach and Taz, and this is how we paskin the halacha, that if conceptually the suffix is a suffix deraisa, even though in the context it's only a question of a derabanan, we still can't say suffik derabanan lakula. By a show of hands, who's happy they came this morning just to hear that distinction, right? Olyum v'noira, chiddush in the Taz and the Shach. But what does come out, I'm going to take your question in 1 second, what does come out from this discussion is that if the suffik is in the derabanan, is it a beria or not? That whole suffik is only a rabbinic question, so then we say suffik derabanan lakula. Question, Dr. Sloan.
It seems like you have to have a whole other discussion about what's whole or not. I mean, in the description of a bird that goes into a cholent, I assume that's not like with a beak.
Yeah. Beak I always felt is the best part of the bird. When you fry it, it's country. You hold on to it, you know, you snap it. So it's a good question, and I'm trying to avoid that discussion of what's considered a beria. Because I want to focus on a simple case of a bug. A whole bug is definitely a beria. I'm even skipping other examples of the Mechaber because those get very tricky.
When we're talking about a muse in this context, are we talking about a muse in the conception of the thing, or the muse, is it a muse in the top?
Oh, that's an insightful question. All right, sometimes we might be disgusted by something just because culturally, listen, we happen to live in America, nobody eats cats. Okay.
Haitians.
But what's that?
It could be a cat's delicious.
It could be it's the other white meat.
Right.
It could be it's delicious. So it's interesting. If you take a look in the bottom left, this is the language of the Mechaber in Kuf Dalet. The way he describes Mo'os, he says, Devarim ha-mo'usim, things that are disgusting, Shenafsho shel adam kotza bahem, that the soul of a human being is disgusted by them, kendamalim, vizvuvim, viyutushim, like ants or flies or little mosquitoes, shekol adam bodil mehem lemiusan, that every person refrains from eating them because they're disgusting. So that's how he describes it. Is that mashma that it's based on an intrinsic tam, or is it mashma that it's based on a cultural, sociological type of thing?
Sounds like it's the latter.
You can go to a country and they have a weird delicacy that everyone else finds gross, but they eat it and love it.
Right.
It sounds like it's not your personal opinion. Like for example, if I find pork disgusting, but everyone else loves it. Would that be an example that I couldn't personally consider it a muse?
So that's there. So I think what is clear from this language of the Mechaber is that it's not a totally subjective getter. If the vast majority of humanity wouldn't touch this, so that's considered mos. Now what's interesting though is that if we continue in Kuf Dalet, the Mechaber says, in a case where a fly or an ant goes into the tavshil, it gets mixed into the cholent, and what happens? Afilu nisarvu b'tavshil, even if it gets totally mixed in where I can't take it out, v'nimcha gufan l'socha, and then it just melts right in. Not like M&M's, right? They mamish melt in your mouth, so the fly melts in the cholent. Okay, delicious. So, what's the halach in that case? Let's say it's not just one fly, but it turns out, unfortunately, there are a whole bunch of little fruit flies, and you see them all do a kamikaze into the cholent. Quickly, cover it up. But can we eat it? Says the Mechaber. If there's reason to assume that they were mamish nimcha, they melted in there, so then, imaheti rabba alav, as long as there's more kosher than treif, mutarim, it's good, it's mutter. Mikol makom kol she'efshar libdok lahaver b'misanenes bodek u'misanen. If it's possible to use some kind of sifter, a sieve, and get out the little bugs, then obviously you have to do that. But assuming it's impossible, it's all mu'urav. If it melts in, as long as you have more kosher than treif.
That's not part of a shishim.
Oh, so why is it that you don't need shishim in this case? Mm-hmm. Why is it that only a rove is sufficient? So it sounds like the answer is because the tam. Why do you ever need shishim? Because the flavor, right? Mm. You need shishim because there's an assumption that any time you have 60 times iser, then you're not tasting the tam of the iser. But in a case of devar ma'usim, like we established, the tam is not problematic. So if there's no mamashis, there's no substance of the iser, it all melts in, I don't need shishim because I don't have to be mevatel the tam. I just have to have more kosher than treif. So as long as you have rov, which means, right, it's an amazing thing. What an incredible heter to go home with, right? Even if you mamish have hundreds of flies going in there, assuming, well, no. So if it's full, that's a problem. But assuming you mamish could see them melt in there, right? When you put the coffee, the creamer in the coffee,
and you see it. Do you have to worry about it tasting good because they taste like fruit?
What's that?
They go in full, but they become unfull once they go in.
I'm just saying, theoretically, if I knew that was the case, so then, even if you had hundreds of fruit flies, as long as they melt in, as long as you have rove of the kosher versus the iser, that would be okay.
What if they give it the tom of fruit?
Good question.
When we talk about it not being whole, I thought Rob was saying that it goes in missing an antenna. Even if it falls off the side. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, but yes.
Am I allowed to take a knife and push it around so that I would destroy it from being a barrier?
So it's a good question. If you know where it is, better just to take it out.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know where it is.
Right. If you don't know where it is, so you know what? Let's have pureed cholent, right? If you're doing that just to chop it up, to make it no longer a beria, then you have the problem being mevatel iser l'chachila. If you have iser mixed into something in a way where it's problematic, for you now to be proactive and either add more heter or chop it up, that's an iser derabbanan being mevatel iser l'chachila. So that would not be an etza. Okay, but it comes... So if you have a fruit where there's a strong assumption that they have little bugs in the fruit, let's say raspberries, right? So there, if you're only grinding them up to make it permissible to eat, that would be a problem. That's called being mevatel iser l'chatchila. The only heter, we learn about this in Sadi Tess Sifhei, that if you're grinding it up not because I want to get rid of the iser, but because that's what the recipe is. If you ask someone, why are you putting these things in the blender and adding banana and almond milk? You would answer, because I want to have a raspberry banana shake. It happens to be, Baruch Hashem, that by making a shake, if there are little tiny creatures in there, they're all going to be chopped up. And that makes it that it's not problematic, mitzad the kashrus, because I definitely have shishim, and there's no beria. So it really depends on one's intent. Okay, but it comes out like this. If there's no reason to assume that the fly, the ant, the moth melts in there, and now you have this tiny fruit fly that goes inside the choland, that would probably mean the whole choland's usur, which is a very difficult chumrah, right?
If someone says, I want to have raspberries because they're healthy, and I know it's not a problem because I'm going to be in the blender at that form of which category.
I want to have raspberries because they're healthy, right, but because I happen to be Shomer Torah mitzvos, I know I can't eat them.
Right, but I know that in the blender,
so I grind them up to make it mutter.
And it's
Osir.
Oh, gosh.
That's being mevatel iser l'chadchila.
But you can buy a
Yom Kippur is on its way, Rabbi Say.
You can buy a product where the company does it.
Oh. So it, most of the time, when you have a company that's doing something like that, they're not doing it to get rid of the iser, right? When you're buying raspberry jam or something.
So what do I have to have in mind if I want to do it again? You have to have in mind that it has to be a recipe. What if it's not a recipe?
It doesn't have to be a recipe that I'm getting from, you know, the best-selling books and art scroll nowadays, unfortunately, you know what they are?
Recipe books?
Cookbooks. Yeridas Hadoros, right?
That's for real?
It's up there. It's really, up there. Huh? I have a good friend of mine who's writing a sefer, and he was in touch with Art Scroll, and basically it was like, yeah, anything with content is not going to sell.
Wow.
Children's books, maybe, you know, recipes, cookbooks, maybe. Mm. Or if you're a huge name, you're Rabbi Pesach Kron, maybe, you know. Otherwise,
wow.
People don't read as much nowadays. It's a sad thing. Wow. Anyway. We're talking about raspberries.
If you want to make a shake, right?
And you're many chatoyim to do tshuva for.
Right, it's not a joke.
No, basically, you have to have in mind that I'm grinding them up because I want this. So if you really like raspberry smoothies, so then you take some frozen raspberries and banana and almond
even
milk.
Fresh, right? Because it's being grinded.
Yeah, machloikis, but pashim shat even fresh. We should really have a separate discussion on Mevat and Isser L'chadchila, because there's a lot there to discuss. But what comes out, the Pashup Shat, though, is that one little tiny fruit fly that I can't assume melts into the cholent would make the whole cholent asur. That's the Pashup Shat. Is there any... Even if it is batel, because Chazal and Siman Kof are telling us that a beria is never batel. It's because it's a davar chashev. Since a little bug is a davar chashev, why is it a davar chashev? The Taz says because eating it by itself, you get malchus for that, even though it's a small little thing. Because it's a davar chashev, Chazal didn't feel comfortable having it batel b'shishim.
So if you made the assumption that it dissolved, and then you're eating,
oh,
and you see it,
or even better.
or you identify it, right.
Hmm. not a barrier.
Maybe this is impractical, but then at that point, are you allowed to eat it?
So you can never eat the thing itself. Because as long as you see it, the whole idea of bittul is only in a case where I don't see the iser, where it's not nicker. Once you see it, then I'm obligated to take it out and throw it in the garbage. And if it's Shabbos, I'll take it out with some of the cholent as well. So there's no borer, right?
Or explain again, what do you mean bittul when can we rely on the robe?
So that's a good question. It might take us a little bit, though, off this path. Right, for now, it sounds like one little tiny fruit fly in a massive bathtub of cholent in the yeshiva kitchen. If you can't find it and you can't assume it melts in, it's a problem.
Mm. What about okay. peanut butter?
What's that?
What about peanut butter? The FDA permits certain amount of insect fragments in a certain
amount.
You're right. Well, I'm not copying. What was that?
The FDA permits a certain amount of insect fragments in a certain amount of peanut butter.
Fragments. Oh. Not the whole thing.
Right.
So we have to rely on multiple shishim.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, if you could assume that there are little fragments of insects, right? Oh, so the fact that they're little pieces, but says Reb Daniel, the only reason why that's permissible is because you have shishim. I think it's a fair assumption. If you don't have shishim against the little pieces of insects, that would be...
They call it bug bug.
So if I buy anything at the store and it's kosher, could theoretically say may contain traces of horse meat.
No,
and that's what they would.
Anyway, so there happens to be a shach, a very interesting shach. On page 2, this is going to Siman Pei Dalet. Pei Dalet is the Siman that speaks about the Isser of bugs, of toloyim in general, and the obligation of checking or washing fruits and vegetables. How do you remember that Siman Pei Dalet speaks about bugs? Because what were those little tiny bugs they found in the water in New York? Copepods. Pods. Pei Dalet. Right? I think it's a coincidence, Rabbi Sai. Mamash Yad Hashem. So Pei Dalet speaks about the Isser of bugs. Says the Mechaber, a case where you have a type of vegetable that requires checking. Right, there's two categories. There's a vegetable that's muhsak betolayim, that you could mamish assume it has bugs inside there. Perhaps raspberries and broccoli are in that category. And then you have other types of vegetables where it's not muhsak betolayim, but it's a miyud hamatsui, which means, you know, there's definitely a strong chance, maybe 10, 20%. And those things require checking. But let's say I didn't check it, and I mixed it into the soup, and now everything is cooked. So the Shach tells us, right, first the Mechaber seems to say it's mutter. If you have types of vegetables where you don't know for sure, there's no halachic assumption they had bugs. Although there's enough of a concern, you should have checked them, but you didn't. Once it's cooked, it's okay to eat. The reason for that, says the Shach in Sivkot and Chavtas, is because you have a svek sveko. You have two doubts here. One is that maybe there were no bugs in the first place. And even if there were bugs, maybe they were nimcha, maybe they fell apart, they got detached during the cooking process. So a svek sveko, we know, allows one to do even something where there's a question of a deraisim. So that's why, post facto, you're allowed to eat the soup.
So no, not l'chadchila, right?
Well, l'chadchila, you'd have to check it. But at least b'dieved, once it was cooked, you'd be allowed to eat it because of this svek sveka.
So, sorry, a practical question. My wife told me, and she takes basil, she puts it in one of those little mesh thingobobs.
Oh.
Puts it in the thing, and she's like, oh, it's too hard to check for bugs, so I put it in there. I'm like, I don't know if you could do that. You know, she's like, no, the bugs don't get through because it's in the...
That's called lazy.
Okay.
No, the ma'aseh said that's mutter l'chadchila.
Okay.
Because they make those things in a way where there's no chance of little bugs getting out. So that's mamish mutter l'chadchila.
What's this?
It's basically...
You know the tongue can get out?
It's like little mesh bags they sell. And they put she puts basil in there because she wants to flavor the basil, but she doesn't... She says it's hard to check for bugs, so she puts it in there to get the flavor of the basil and keep out the bugs.
Now, before this year, you might still have the question, granted, It keeps the bugs inside. But how about the flavor? So we said before that flavor of bugs is not problematic. Right? So even if the soup does have a little bit of that flavor, it's most. That tam is not problematic. We do the same thing. That's all. Okay. However, I want to analyze the shach for a moment. The shach is saying that if you didn't check these vegetables and the maisa, they might have bugs there, it's mutter bidyevid because a svek sveka. First suffix is there might not have been bugs in the first place. And the second one is even if there were bugs, maybe they broke apart. So it's not a beria, and it's definitely batel b'shishin.
What if they didn't break apart?
What's that?
What if they didn't break apart?
So we don't know. We don't know for sure. But then you could say we have a svek sveka. We have two doubts, which allows something to be eaten usually. I have a kasha in the shach, though. Let me ask a kasha in the shach. This is a good kasha. Why does the shach need a svek sveka? Why can't we just have one suffix that during the cooking process, even if there are bugs inside there, maybe they break apart? We said before that because the whole issue of a beria not being batal is a din derabanan. So the Taz explained, whenever you have a suffix of is it a beria or is it not a beria, so then we go with the klal suffix derabanan lakula. It's good kasha, Gavi, no? Why does the shach need a svek sveka? Even if I assume there are bugs, it wasn't just a concern. But l'maisa, I know there are bugs. It's broccoli. Of course it's infested. But who cares? Now, at least post facto, b'di'evid, I have one suffek that maybe it broke apart in the cooking process, and it's for sure batel b'shishim.
You did it l'chadchila, or it's
a bit... Yeah, no, that's a b'di'evid, b'di'evid. I mean, I'm sure you have both, right? So, Pashup Shat, let's just say it's Batal, and we'll leave it like that, because you have Rov and you have Shishim. Why does he need two Svekos? So says the Prima Gadol. It must be that when the Shach says there's a suffix that maybe the bug broke apart, he doesn't mean it's mamish a suffix of 50-50. It's not mamish a 50-50. If it was, you wouldn't need any other suffix. It means that there's more of a reason to say it broke apart, but maybe it's not a real 50-50 suffix.
But then it's not a svek svek.
Oh, so the way that the Prima Gadol says it is that's why the shach needs the other suffix. Maybe it's not a classic svek sveka, pnei yeshua, ksupa, okay. But it's enough to be mekel. So that means when we first saw the shach, we got a little bit excited because, hey, he's telling us that there's an idea that when something falls into a cholin during the cooking process, there's a suffix, it might get broken up. So maybe that could be our saving grace with the case of the small fruit fly going into the big vat of cholin. Maybe it's broken up. But then the shach seems to be saying that by itself is not enough. You also have to have a different suffix that maybe it's not there. But that doesn't apply to our case because I saw it go in. I'm not getting enough positive reinforcement. Rabbi said this is a very geschmack, right? Oh,
what if?
Nice. Yes, Dr. Sloan.
I'm just trying to process what you're saying. Are they like multiplying probabilities together? Is that what you're trying to get below 50%? That's the goal?
The goal is that at least we should view it as a suffix. If it's a suffix beria, we paskin that suffix derabanan lakula. What seems to be clear from this shach, as understood by the Prima Gadol, is that if you know the bug is there, the suffix of maybe it broke apart by itself would not be sufficient. So if we saw the fly go into the cholent, this shach in Pei Dalet, Sipkat and Chav Tes, is probably not going to be enough. However, right, our time is getting late here. Yes.
What if the vessel holding the cholent, you said it's like a bathtub sized, what if it's larger than the size in kalim that like makes it impossible to become tame from a tiny little fly carcass?
So it's a good question, but it makes no difference regarding tuma. Tuma is the din of kli versus mechubal karka. This is talking about kashrus.
I thought kashrus is like, nope. Has to do with tuma, no? It's nope. Is for cooking only, not for
bacon?
Huh.
It could probably apply to any form of cooking. Doesn't make a difference too much. It's the heat itself that creates some level of suffix. But what we have to do is we have to add another reason to be makel. Because just cooking process, it sounds like, is not enough. So I want to share with you quickly three different ideas. And although we don't seem to paskin like either or any of these three ideas by themselves, it could be in conjunction with the shach, that if it goes in during the cooking process, you could still feel comfortable saying there's no problem eating the cholent. One idea is the Krasi Uplasi. Who is the author of the Krasi Uplasi? Reb Yonis and Eibschitz. Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Levracha. And he writes that there are shitas actually quoted in the Tur, in Simen Kuf, that even with a beria, even with a whole entity, when we say it's not batal, although the Mechaber's language is, it's not batal afilu be'elef, even if you have 1,000 times keneged the fly, it's not batal. There are other shitas, namely the Rashba and the Ravid and the Bahag and others who say, if you have over 1,000 times this little thing, then it is batal. The Mechaber didn't paskin that way, but there are Rishonim who do. And it could even be, says the Krasi Uplasi, you have Rov Shitas in the Rishonim. You have a majority of opinions in the Rishonim who paskin that way.
Even
if it bugs whole. Right, I mean, the only time the Chazal say you can't rely on Bittul when you have a whole entity is if it's still somewhat significant in the overall mixture. If you have thousands of times keneged that little fly, so then Chazal's din would never apply.
Meaning that is not Deva Yacha, meaning Deva
Chashivas, you're saying? Yeah. So that could be part of the rationale, that if the whole reason why it can't be Batal is because of its Chashivas, its significance, but it's not significant in this context. I have thousands of times keneged it. That's an idea of the Krasi Uplasi. There's a second idea we find from the Mishkanes Yaakov. Mishkanes Yaakov writes in a tshuva that if the whole reason behind Beria not being batal is Chashivas, if it's a little tiny, almost microscopic creature that you can't even find with the magnifying glass now because it's Mamish Me'urav, so that's not Chashiv. That's not considered Chashivas, right? Now, this is not such a simple idea of the Mishkanes Yaakov, because we saw from the Taz, the reason why a little bug is considered chashuv is why? Is because you get malchus if you were to eat it. And that's true even with a little tiny fruit fly. You would get malchus. So when the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this Mishkanes Yaakov, he's not 100% comfortable with it. But there is this idea that if it's a tiny little thing, maybe there would not be the din of Beria. And there's a third and final notion of the Ramah himself. There are many ways of reading this Ramah, but the Ramah back on page 1 on the bottom right, he seems to say that the idea of Beria not being batal is only if the thing itself is not pogum ba'atzmam. It's not intrinsically disgusting. Now, the Mechaber doesn't agree to that, because one of the examples of the Mechaber in Simen Kuf is namala, an ant. I think we would all assume, using the description in Kuf Dalid, an ant is part of the category of devarim hamu'usim shenafshu shel adam kotze behem. But the Ramah seems to say, if it's an insect that's be'etzim disgusting, there might not be a din of beria, and for the same reason, that's not called choshev. So it doesn't seem like we paskin like this reading of the Ramah. It doesn't seem like we paskin like the Krasi Uplasi, that if you have more than 1,000 times the beria, then it's mutter. And it doesn't seem like we paskin like the Mishkanes Yaakov, that a little tiny thing you can't find is no longer choshev. However, when you have something that gets mixed in during the cooking process, and you have the Shach in Pei Dalet who says, there's at least now more of an assumption, it might not be mamish a suffix, but there's more of an assumption that it broke into pieces during the Bishul, and you also have the Ramah and the Crazy Uplasi, the Mishkanes Yaakov, so then you could eat the Cholent. That means, though, halacha lemaisa, if you have a salad, even though I just spent the last 20 minutes, mamish, making this geshmak Greek salad with all the basil and everything else, all these little pieces here, and then I see a few little tiny fruit flies take a nosedive into the salad, and then I can't find them. Can I eat the salad?
No.
Then I can't eat the salad. Because if I'm not relying on the Ramah, the Mishkanes Yaakov, and the Crazy Uplasi, and we really need the Shach is only applicable when it gets mixed in during the cooking process. If there's no cooking happening with my salad, then unfortunately I'd have to take the salad and throw it in the garbage.
Or give it to a non-Jew.
You could just wash it.
Okay, right. You could. That's not as dramatic. Okay. You could wash the whole thing off and start again. Fine. But you can't eat it the way it is.
So if a fly goes into your cholent and you're certain right now it's a variant, but you plan to cook it, let's say you're planning on cooking it for several days and you're certain it's going to break up, at that point you can intentionally just say, okay, it's going to break up.
Yes, because I'm not doing anything different. It's going into a situation where now I have all these svaras. Enjoy the cholent. All right, shakayach, have a wonderful day.